I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Wednesday, July 9th. I tell you, last night, we are in maybe the best stretch of Minnesota summer, right? Last night was so beautiful. Alyssa made dinner. We had, I talk about pork on this show all the time. Steph Schimpf is here from the Blue Plate. Before we talk about your new food, you can hear what I had for dinner last night.
You're not comparing me to pork, are you?
No. Nothing's as delicious as Minnesota pork, Steph. So Alyssa made chicken thighs for dinner last night. The kids give her a hard time because during COVID, when we were cooking every day, we had a lot of chicken. And so, you know, sometimes kids, they're asked, like, well, what's your mom's famous recipe or the food you crave? And for our kids, they just say chicken, which is because we make different food all the time.
Well, at least they're getting thighs, not the boneless, skinless.
We're all about the thighs in our household.
Yeah.
Do you cook at home?
We do.
Yeah. Because you're running the restaurants. Blue Plate has how many locations now?
Seven, eight, nine, depending on how you do the math. You know, seven brick and mortar, one at the airport, and the State Fair.
The Blue Barn.
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about now. But you do cook at home.
I do. And and thankfully, my kids do, though, too. And I assign meal prep to each kid once per week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
We did that during COVID, and then it sort of faded away. But, like, we right now... With, like, Sam, they're both leaving.
Yeah, I know.
So you're like, in a similar boat.
Similar. We're going to orientation next week for one. We signed a lease on an apartment for the other one yesterday. It's full court press.
It's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. I'm a little freaked out by it.
Seth has an apartment in New York City. Do you know how much? For any of you who complain about rent in Minnesota... I'd like to introduce you to Manhattan.
Do we know the number?
We know the number.
Yeah. It's probably worse than D.C. D.C.'s not great.
The problem you have is when you have roommates. So Seth has two roommates, and then you have to do, like, you're sort of victim to whatever their parents want.
Oh, and you could get a tiger mom coming in there.
Well, that is what we had. So I ended up in a group chat with all these other parents, and you're trying to navigate, like, all right, I don't know anything about New York City. I don't know what apartments cost. I know what my budget is. And then if you want to spend more than that, then you have to spend it, is sort of what we said. But what do you do when the other parents are like, you submit a $6,000 a month apartment and they're like, oh, well, that's on the third floor and it's just walk up and that neighborhood, my data set for commercial real estate indicates it's a dangerous area. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But we made what we didn't make, but one of the parents said they would pay more because they were being such a pain in the butt about the process.
And did
roommates, it's four kids with four kids, different ideas.
But is it?
And then you have all the parents and you have a couple divorces. You're like, bah, so many opinions.
It's a lot of people. My kid had three in a one bedroom last year.
Oh, whoa.
Mm hmm.
These kids are like spoiled kids. These New York kids.
It sounds like it.
It's a four bedroom apartment.
That's bougie.
That's what I thought, but this is what Alyssa's on some Facebook page with other parents.
See, that's the first problem. Do not go on a parent college Facebook page. I would poke my eye out if I went on those.
Do you think I go on those?
I hope not.
Hell no.
I hope not, because if so, my opinion of you just diminished.
Yeah, that's fair.
Only by like, .03, but nonetheless.
Oh, gosh. So today is the day for the new State Fair announcement. Blue Barn has been around for, well, how do you count, right? Because we had the COVID year. But it's been 10-plus years.
10-plus. Thank you. Yeah, since 2014.
Are you sort of over this, like the new food announcement? I think people are still into it. I worry every year. I'm like, I don't know if people care. It's the number one story on every website. It's people still love it.
It's still a little bit like Christmas or whatever special holiday you have, because the night before I was a little anxious going to bed, and I woke up an hour before my alarm that was going to put me on at 6 a.m. looking at websites and Instagram right. and such. But I think you're right. I think people are still excited about it. Every year I wonder if we've jumped the shark.
If you as Blue Plate or if this whole bed?
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I jumped the shark once, maybe, but I'm done jumping.
Everybody has, like, you know, Union Mung Kitchen, which is beloved, had a bit of a flop last year. It happens, right? Mm-hmm. You had your year where it was a bit of a flop.
Yep.
But I can only think of one example where there was a flop so bad that it proved like it was the undoing of that vendor. So usually you can kind of recover.
Yeah.
The chocolate dipped jalapenos was, I think, that vendor was not invited back to the fair the following year.
I'm giving you that look like a dog gives a human when they're like, what? What is this?
I think it was like a fresh fruit spot.
That doesn't sound good.
It was raw jalapeno.
Oh.
It's funny we had Tracy Perlman on in the last segment because I think I was on a show that she was producing. And, you know, Frank and Amelia are very nice, and I was just trying to be honest. And so I tried it on the air, and I said, this is terrible. It was cheap chocolate. They didn't grill the jalapeno or do anything. It was just a raw jalapeno.
And the variation in spiciness can be, you know, it can be a 2 or it can be a 10. You don't
risky
know what you're
with
getting.
The jalapeno. Yeah, yeah. Yes, it's always a little bit of roulette with that. Well, you guys have your new food that you released this morning. What did you come up with?
I think we've got a winner. I'm not worried about jumping the shark this year. We've got cheese curds.
It's called Sweet Squeakers.
Yeah, because you know when cheese curds are brand new, they're squeaky.
You want them to squeak. Yes.
You want them to squeak. You want them to know they're new.
Okay. This looks...
Dan, can we have some squeaky noises, please?
I know. Do you make a... I don't know how that... You know that sound when you bite into a fresh
you
cheese
do.
Curd, though. Yes.
I'm not a sound effects person. My squeak, kid could probably come up with something good. Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Dan's working on it.
We have funnel cake. Coated.
It's a funnel cake batter.
Funnel cake batter on the cheese curds. White cheddar. And then we've got a lemony whipped cream that goes on top. So you've got the sweet and savory, salty sweet thing going on, and then some blueberry jam.
Oh, the jam is good.
Yeah, the jam's
good. You guys make this jam?
We do.
It's very blueberry, but not overly sweet. That's where it could go south, right?
Right. Then you've got sweet on sweet, and it should just be enough to, I mean, it should be...
That's good.
The equivalent of a blueberry ketchup. There's no tomato. It's not ketchup. Let's not be confused. But it should give you that feeling.
That lemon you get a real nice lemon flavor in there too. For me, it's a little reminiscent of at Hell's Kitchen. You have that lemon ricotta pancake where there's like that little bit of lightness. It's sweet, but it's still kind of there's something about the lemon that changes the equation.
Yeah, it takes the edge off of the sweetness because I don't think you want. If you had sweet whipped cream, sweet blueberry, and then the sweet batter, you would be way too sweet.
Stephanie Shimp is with us, Blue Plate Restaurant Group. Blue Barn at the State Fair just unveiling their official food. We'll break. You got any hot takes, any hot topics you want to talk about?
Oh, come up with something.
We'll think about that. We'll talk more with Steph in just a minute here at Drive Time. Steph Shimp is with us. The biggest story in the food world yesterday was the news that Cafe Lurcotte was closing. I always have mixed feelings on these. It's always sad when something closes. I think that place like held a special spot in a lot of our hearts because 23 years ago, you didn't have the Spoon and Stables of the world. You didn't have the food scene wasn't what it is now.
And D'Amico's were front runners in the food scene. I mean, Larry and Richard D'Amico, many of us in town fall off that family
tree.
You know,
right.
We're on that family tree. We're a branch somewhere. And they brought to town what didn't exist.
Yeah.
And that spot is just the way it looks out over the park, the history before it was the, you know, boho hipster cool before hipster was even invented spot. I mean, it was, there's a little magic there.
So romantic.
Yeah. I'm a little sad about that. And Palmer's Bar. Oh my gosh. I took my friends and family to see Cornbread Harris several times this winter and to the Church of Cornbread. And I'm super sad about that because that place, just the chemistry there also doesn't exist around town like that, where you could have, it's not prescribed and it's not, it's not hipster. It just is.
That's what you worry like that. And there's going to be more of this, right? I mean, you and I talk often about the business environment, and we have restaurants around the country that are sort of in a period of realignment. Like, how are people eating out? Are people watching their money because of the economy and the uncertainty over the economy? Have people's preferences just changed in what they think is fun? I see a little bit of a shift generationally. Like, our age, going out to dinner was our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's the same with the Gen Zers or the, whatever we call, what is in between Gen Z and millennial.
Yeah, what are those people?
Whatever those, it's...
Well, there's more cooking culture than there was when you and I grew up. We grew up on... Well, at least I grew up on TV dinners and Chef Boyardee. And
Encore Frozen Entrees.
Yeah, was a Swanson. Banquet Chicken.
Banquet, yes.
I'm surprised we're both alive right now.
I can smell that Salisbury steak right now.
I can hear the tinfoil just, you know, grating on my nerves.
My parents think it's hilarious that I write about food. They're like, it certainly didn't come from what we were eating, which
same,
is true. Yeah.
Same. But the kids cook, and they had the Food Network, and...
Yeah.
And they don't drink as much. That's a big thing for restaurants. I mean, you at the end of the day, you still have to have a certain guest check average to pay your bills. And if people are ordering less, whether it's entrees or desserts or drinks, it's GLP-1s. I mean, it's a lot of little things. Minnesota's, if you look at the tax. Watchdog website. We're number 44, which means bad.
I mean, I think we're seeing these trends all around the country. So I hesitate to be like, it's because of the government. And like, you got to be obvious about this stuff. And it's no accident that a lot of our multi-unit restaurant, locally based multi-unit restaurants like you guys, and we had Craft and Crew on yesterday, and you see it with Jester. They're going to the suburbs. And why is that? Well,
cost of doing business is less in the suburbs.
And it always was less, but it's way less now because of minimum wage is the number one factor, right?
It's gone up from $7.25 to almost, you know, $15.97 in Minneapolis over 7 years. You know, that's 120% increase in 7 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and I think as a society, you can make a choice and say, well, we think that minimum wage is more important. And then you have to deal with the reality that comes with that, which is...
A $20 hamburger.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And it's, I think that onus is on us as restaurant operators to adjust and adapt. When you have a 10-year lease, though, and the building costs are $500 a foot, it's hard to... turn on a dime to do that.
Yeah, you're in for 10 years. You can't just shut it down.
No, and if you have a 5,000 square foot space and you have $500 a foot, that's $2.5 million to retool it. That's a lot of risk.
How worried should people be about their favorite restaurants?
I think if people value their favorite restaurant, whether it be their neighborhood restaurant or their date night restaurant, they should support them.
Yeah.
You know, once a week, because they won't be there if they don't. It's just like your neighborhood hardware store. If you don't go to the Ace Hardware on Hennepin Avenue or Grand Avenue, that's not going to be there in a couple of years.
Why do so many new spots keep opening?
I think the barrier to entry is low, and when you, especially when it's your first place, you don't know what you don't know.
So, like, investors are willing because it seems fun, and so the money is there at the beginning?
I think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I've never had investors.
That's true. You guys did it yourself. I do think there's some of that, right?
It's sexy, right?
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to say, I own a restaurant, you know?
Right.
When you're at a dinner party, it's a cool thing to say.
Sometimes I think maybe you don't want to say it. It's less fun when you've been doing it for all these years, right?
It's
still fun.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, okay, how hard is my job? I get to run around to four different media outlets today and talk about cheese curds. That's pretty cool.
I don't know. That sounds like Dan Cook's nightmare. I had to be on a bunch of media outlets. It's a tricky deal. I never like to blame the guests, like when a place closes. But I would just say, and I've been trying to tell people this, that like you need to think about trying to go out on like a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Because no one realizes, everyone's like, well, everything's full. You're like, well,
that's because you went out Friday or Saturday at 7 o'clock.
Right. The truth is, like, there used to be an 8:30 turn, which we don't see that much. And now the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is pretty dead.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty slow.
Yeah. So just go out.
Go out.
Or don't. Like, I don't know, make your choice. But you don't get to be super sad when things close then.
I love the comments when, oh, I love that place. I haven't been there in years. Like, that's my favorite one to read. Like, yeah, that kind of explains
it. Well, on YouTube, they're asking for a Blue Plate restaurant in Burnsville, Apple Valley, St. Cloud, and Duluth. So they
fantastic.
Love they're ready for you to come out there for sure.
I do hear a lot of requests from south of the river, and I do think those folks are underserved.
No doubt.
Right?
I was down in Apple Valley yesterday at Thomas Bamer, mm-hmm. the chef from Revival, is now at a restaurant group down there, and they are way underserved.
Who has a really good, speaking of serves, he has a really good serve. If you're a tennis player.
Tennis player.
And he's super tall. And if I'm across the net, that thing comes in at 100 miles an hour.
Are you watching Wimbledon?
Of course.
Taylor Fritz? Are you a Taylor Fritz fan?
I am, but I'm an Alcaraz.
Alcaraz is
number
so
one.
Exciting.
Right.
Taylor's girlfriend is like one of us, though.
That's what I
Morgan
hear.
Morgan Riddle.
Yeah.
She's from here. I interviewed her back in the day when she was a nobody.
Now she's a wag.
It's not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig if you can
not
get it.
Not a bad gig. This is, my wife feels the same way about being married to me.
Yeah, she's a wag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait for the comments on that one.
No doubt. Stephanie Schimpf, Blue Barn. Make sure you put the Sweet Squeakers on your schedule. An official new food at the State Fair. Do you have any secret new foods this year that aren't official?
We're bringing back a breakfast sandwich, which is, you know, kind of a new old food.
Fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm a little morose. I'm sad to not have my business partner with me today. It'll be my first. This is my first day doing this
without
a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the fair won't quite be the same, but.
Well, it will not be the same without him around. Yeah. David, we've talked about on this show before, died in a horrific and infuriating drunk driver motorcycle crash. Gosh, it feels like so long ago, but it also feels like yesterday. I'm sure it feels like that for you.
It was 3 months on Sunday.
Oof.
Yeah. Ask my opinion about repeat offenders, and I'll give you a whole hour on that, too.
Yeah.
Oof. You know, if this man weren't still driving, you have to wonder if this would have happened.
Yeah, it wouldn't have.
Mm-mm.
It wouldn't have. Yeah.
No.
It's infuriating on many levels, but.
But in honor of David Effing Burley, we got this.
Yes.
Like, we got this. It is my duty and my honor to get to do this.
Thank you, Steph. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love you. Stephanie Schimpf from Blue Plate Restaurant Company. And go check out the Blue Barn at State Fair, just 42 days away. Drive Time coming back with some thoughts on the mega maintenance happening this weekend. Mega maintenance. Have you heard about this? You will hear about it coming up. So in Laura Oakes's news, she talked about how this weekend, you know, there's some big time work going on the roads. And I got to be honest, like on this show, I try not to come at you guys with dumb guy takes. Right. Like, what are we doing all this construction for? Because like part of why we have so much construction going on all at one time is that there's this federal COVID money. and or federal infrastructure money, and they got to use the money. So I would rather use federal funds when it's available and go do the road work. We can do it. Yeah, it's annoying. Yes. I hate it. Yes. You're frustrated for sure. This weekend, we knew that we're starting this massive 394 project. Bridge work. Oh, the bridge work, man. You know, we don't like bridges to be falling apart. Like, doing bridge work is good. But in Laura's news, she talked about, what did they call it this weekend, Dan? There's some, we asked MnDOT, we're like, what are you guys doing? And they said,
they've decided to brand it, apparently.
They're saying it's mega maintenance.
Yes.
And, well, it turns out that they really want to get you kind of excited about it because people have been very frustrated. I get it. If you give me a word to describe your feelings about construction at 651-461-9226.
Preferably one we could say on the air.
But it's up to you. I'll read it and enjoy. You can have your word to describe it. But MnDOT is saying, like, well, we want people to really feel good about mega maintenance. And in fact, they asked me to I haven't heard this, but they asked me to share this with you right now.
In a land of 10,000 traffic cones, this summer, an experience like no other.
Mega maintenance.
30 hours of nonstop bridge deck action. Inspect them, fix them, stripe them, clean storm drains, remove vegetation and graffiti. It's a weekend blockbuster of mega proportions.
Mega maintenance.
New Brighton, Fridley, Columbia Heights, Brooklyn Center, westbound 694.
Mega maintenance.
It's this weekend only. Yeah, right. Eastbound lanes coming August 1st through infinity. A MnDOT production.
Mega maintenance. They made a whole movie trailer for
that. Pretty good. I'd go to the theater to see that.
I was going to be very frustrated about all of these lanes closed down, but now that it's mega maintenance, can you see it in the IMAX, or is it just...
Well, there's no point if you can't see it in IMAX.
Yeah. Mega maintenance. Are we trying too hard with the branding? Are we made like it's just they're just doing 6 miles of road work, right? Like, I don't know. They're doing their best out there, trying to come up with. Was there a news release with this in it, or did our friend Kent Barnard from MnDOT just kind of say this, and it's in every
now it's a
single
thing. Yeah.
Every headline, you just search the Google right
and you
now.
Know, hey, when you read that word in your head, it sounds like mega maintenance. I mean, you can't just say it. You got to get the deep, gravelly voice.
Mega maintenance. It's just insane.
Go see Superman this weekend or mega maintenance?
Well, you're going to see mega maintenance whether you like it or not. You will be seeing it. My take, and I have a couple of friends who every time there's a new road project, they text me, like, see what I mean? And you got to fix the roads. We have a short season. I will say, if somebody wanted to run for governor on a platform of saying we can do a better job of scheduling this stuff, like, if I were running for governor, this is what I would say. Now, you might ask, how are you going to do that?
What would the details of that plan be, candidate DeDura?
You know what? We're going to work on it. What I believe in is innovation. I believe on iteration.
Ooh.
I believe in...
alliteration.
And unsubstantiation is what I believe in. I do think this would be, like, think of the campaign you could run for governor of this state. Number one, I'm going to change the way that we schedule maintenance projects. You're not going to have at the same time mega maintenance up on 694, the beginning of Bridge Bonanza on 394, and then, of course, the ongoing work of the intercity, intergalactic interruption between 94 and 280.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pause the interruption. We're going to take a break from the mega maintenance. And I don't remember what I called the other one. But I would say that. And then
we're going to workshop it.
Yeah, like would I do it?
I get a blue ribbon panel.
Oh, for sure.
To take a look at
panel. I just think what I would do, Dan, is I would create a bit of a skunk works, kind of a group of.
You would get buy-in from the various interested parties.
No, if I were running for governor, the last thing I would want is buy-in from all the interested parties. I think buy-in from all the interested parties is why everything takes forever around here. Too much buy-in. Here's your buy-in. I won the election. Mega maintenance is over. Now, we do need to do some mega maintenance.
Yes.
You know, what I would do is ask sort of the questions that people ask me in my text. Like, I don't see why they couldn't be working around the clock. What do you say to that? Naysayer Dan Cook, why can't they be working around the clock?
Take a look at the union contracts.
Well, I mean, we're going to take a look.
Okay. We're going to look at
that. We're going to take a look into that,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
But I do think this would be a better campaign than some of the other conversations.
Sure.
We've had,
you're probably right about that.
But if you ran on that, would that be an automatic win? You don't think so?
No, not automatic. It would be a good,
tactic.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, so that would be one of mine. Then I would also run on a campaign to outlaw at the gas station when they ask you 25 questions. If it's under, you know, if it's below 20 degrees, it's illegal at the gas pump to ask you if you want to get a car wash, and if you want your receipt, and if you'd like to enter your Cub Foods loyalty number. And if you'd like your horoscope, and if you'd like your wife.
And now here's a video from Maria Menounos.
Right. Oh, man, how much money do you think Maria Menounos makes on that?
Huge bank.
I used to have a fairly large crush on Maria Menounos.
Understandable.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous woman. Very successful.
But if I were, like, guessing how her career would end up,
like, on the gas station pump,
yeah,
would not have been on the list?
I would not have guessed she would be right between, like, diesel, regular, mid-grade, and super.
That's why she's making that money and you're not.
I guess. Now, texters are saying, why don't we just remove I-94 and make it into a boulevard?
No mega maintenance required there.
This is my platform. Anybody else can take this from me, for sure. They're welcome to run on this. Mega maintenance coming soon. It is 4:48 drive time. Back in just a minute with a conversation about the Twins, three former players and one current player in the broadcast booth. We'll talk about that next.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
The Chef IQ temp of the team has to be pretty darn hot after last night. I'm not willing to turn the whole team's temperature up to hot, but oh, what a game.
It was a good one, right? It was a great eighth inning anyway. I mean, they got out to a 2-0 lead right out of the bat.
The eighth inning was ridiculous.
The eighth inning was kind of crazy. I almost felt bad for the Cubs reliever after a point. Almost.
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 The Cubs go down by a score of 8-1. So that was fun. Cubs are a good team.
Yes, they are.
And the Twins played, I thought, very well. Simeon Woods Richardson had a very nice performance.
Gave you everything you would ask for a Simeon Woods Richardson start to look like.
Five innings, no earned runs.
Bullpen did its job.
Yep. Danny Coulomb was kind of in and pulled rather quickly.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know. So very good. You didn't have to. It turned out Johan Duran was sick, I think, right? Mm. I believe I saw that from our guy Dan Hayes, so it was good. We didn't need him.
Didn't need him. He could rest up. That was just fine.
I listened to the radio after I moved outside.
Sure.
But
I listened on the way home.
I watched a fair amount of the very unique, no Corey Provis, no play-by-play television broadcast last night with Trevor Plouffe, Justin Morneau,
Glenn Perkins,
and
Pablo Lopez. Who, seriously, the clapping in the press box, if you saw that video?
Yes.
Verboten.
Not allowed.
Not good.
But.
Not good. Come on, Pablo.
He's a player. He's allowed to do what he wants.
Somebody said something to him because he mentioned it on the broadcast. He got scolded for it. So
I really enjoyed it.
It was great. I thought it was fantastic. You worry when you have analyst guys like that and nobody there to sort of be, you know, the one that sort of moderates things.
Right.
But Glenn sort of stepped up and took that role.
Glenn did a very nice job, like throwing a break, keeping things moving.
I think it's awesome when you have, you know, pitchers asking batters questions about how they would approach things and vice versa. And you had a lot of that last night. I thought it was, you know, would I want this every game? No. But, you know, for a series while Corey gets a well-earned break, absolutely. It was great.
It was like hanging out with four buddies just watching a game. And those four buddies all played the game.
Well, we talked about it. You know, when you talk to Pablo about pitching, Pablo loves to talk about pitching. So you sensed he would be pretty good at this. And man, was he ever.
They'll do it again tonight. We'll have the game on the radio as well. Pre-game starts at 6. One more hour from us. Stick around.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.